On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
I also didn't get Joe Louis in my fucking lunch. Right? My parents hated me, clearly.
I'm not sure what the fuck this is. I'm about to find out.
This is Tall Can Audio.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. He's back. Matt over here. Rob right over there.
This is it, baby. I'm back, puka shells and all.
I don't know what that means.
Sweet puka shell necklace. Come on, man, you know what that is. Looking good. Nice tan, good teeth, puka shell necklace.
Oh, yeah.
Guy's been roofied. I mean, roofered.
He's been roofied. That's for sure.
This is Tall Can Audio. We are on Twitter and Instagram. At Tall Can Audio, Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this one. Rob, couldn't wait for a moment. What do you got, man? What do we got?
Yeah, we're both sharing equally in the spoils. Oh, see? You fucking...
Well, if you can fucking do it, I can do it.
It's true.
We're just a little off kilter.
This is the American Blonde from Conspiracy Theory called Staged Landing. It's nice. It's got that kind of Russian cosmonaut on the on the front. But so think of the bubbled, you know, that sort of bubbled helmet with the black front.
Everybody loves the bubbled helmet.
And then in the blacked in front, what you see very, you know, sort of, it's hard to see, but it's a video camera in the playback.
Okay.
So, yeah, stage landing, obviously. In the theme that Conspiracy Theory is continuing to put forward with their beers.
This is last week, I think you mentioned them, that you were trying them for the first time.
Yep.
And this is the one that you hadn't tried yet, so we're both into it. First pull, what do you think, ma'am?
Not loving it.
Yeah. It's pale ale.
Yeah. Well, it's a blonde.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. American Blonde Ale. Yeah, it's true. And it's not bad.
No.
It isn't bad. It, to me, there's nothing really either way.
Yeah. There's nothing surprising about it. Like when you say that it's going to be a blonde, to me, yeah. This is about right.
Yeah. And so I think of the three. Now we'll wait and we'll see. It's first pull.
Yep.
In the green room, you and I, which had been moved outdoors.
We're very responsible with our social distancing.
We have
put up an aquarium here between us.
Yeah, it's actually quite nice, right? There's a little barrier in between the two of us.
Yeah.
I had the My Cousin Yeti, which is I had on the show
different
last week.
Different than My Cousin Vinny.
Well, and it's really that's my Cousin Vinny is where I went with it, but I'm like, what's the conspiracy there? Like I know it's in a courtroom, but it's actually the play is on in talking to Paul at Conspiracy Theory.
Mm.
The play is on
Saint Paul.
My Cousin Eddie from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Nice.
So that's the My Cousin Yeti.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. Well, you and I went in the same direction initially until
you Paul know. Stepped in, made the correction.
You're gonna have to work a little harder, Paul.
For the simple folk like us. On this day in 1985.
Wait. Okay. Yep. It's a Blue Jays?
It's nothing to do with sports.
Oh.
So he's got no clue.
Yes.
The original Super Mario Brothers was released. I know we've talked before. As a kid, you said you didn't have, you didn't maybe really get into the video game thing until you had kids of your own.
No.
All right. I stand corrected.
Yeah. Well,
again,
because I'm old as fucking Abraham, or it seems that way.
Yeah.
When I was young, it was the original Atari.
Yes.
Right.
So nice. Space Invaders. Yeah,
for sure, man. And the combat that comes yes. with it. Right. But I never had one of those, right? Always at buddies' houses, yes. right? That kid. I also didn't get Joe Louis in my fucking lunch, right? My parents hated me, clearly. No Atari and no Joe Louis in my lunch. I'm not sure. Or Passion Flakies, right? Like, what's happening here, man?
What a good snack. Loveless childhood.
A good snack pack or something. I had a bowl cut, too, right? It's the late 70s, early 80s, right? Shit was terrible.
Have you ever then played the original... Super Mario Brothers.
Are you kidding? So mid high school, right? I've been working since grade 8, right? I had a weekend job always, all yep. year round. Did a pile of work through the summers. So I had my own cash.
All right.
So by the time I was about 16, I bought my own Nintendo. And so
yeah, that'd be a little later. Though, right? Like,
but it is still, it's still the first.
Yeah, no, it's the original Nintendo. Yeah, for sure.
But also the first Super Mario.
Okay, yeah. I think it came with it.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And I never got into 2 or 3, right? I loved.
3 maybe was the best one. Okay. 2 was a fucking cocaine fueled.
Yeah.
There was some weird shit out. My understanding, and it's, if there's gamers out there listening, and maybe there's a few of you. You'll correct me, but my understanding is Super Mario Brothers 2 was supposed to be something else, and it lost funding or something at the last second, so they just pasted Mario and Luigi heads on the characters and put them in this game that looked nothing like Super Mario 1 or 3.
The and stupid so, raccoon tails and shit.
It just looks like this weird methed out, like, every Super Mario game was always running left to right, like, through these levels, and then this one is, like, upwards and... like villains you've never seen before that don't match up with anything else in the series. So, but yes, this day, 1985, man, the original Super Mario Brothers. I remember it would have been a little later than this that we got it. And on the same cartridge was Duck Hunt.
Oh, I love the Duck Hunt, man.
To this day, I don't understand how Duck Hunt worked in 1985, 86, 87. Like,
with the gun, with that cheap gun.
Well, because... Like, that's Nintendo Wii bullshit that came out in, like, 05. Yeah. And here's this thing where you're I don't understand how it worked. I don't know how your TV recognized it.
I was never good at it, and I never owned one.
I'm pretty sure the first time I ever heard a swear word was my father trying Duck Hunt. And you missed the duck, and then that dog would run out and laugh at you. He'd, like, cover his mouth.
Yeah, and point, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure my dad's like, fucking dog.
See, so tell you the time, yeah, shooting at the dog.
Yeah, bang, of course.
Bang, bang.
Shoot, goddammit.
Yeah, if the timing is clear because what I bought with it, so it came, I bought it off a buddy who wanted to sell his. So I bought 2 games. The games I bought with it, I bought Pac-Man. Well, I think it was Miss Pac-Man at the time.
Sure.
And I bought Punch-Out.
Nice.
Not the Mike Tyson punch out. Hey, wait, because he had just lost to Buster Douglas.
Let's get his fucking name off of this.
So when you got to the very end, which I did, it's Tyson, only he's white. Right? Like it's same little tight fro and the black shorts and the black boots, but it's this white guy. It's like this went, all right, we're going to fucking yank Mike. And who knows, he may have already had the Robin Givens issues at the time. And
oof.
So they're like, yeah, okay, we got to pull.
Right.
We got to pull. But so it was, all the rest was the same, right? You had Glass Joe, you had.
Love Glass Joe.
You know, Flamenco Joe and, you know, all the rest, you know, King Hippo.
Nice, man.
I loved it. I loved it, man. And I'm sure I've told this story before, but my stepmother at the time, she very much disapproved of me buying this. It was going to be a mind rot and.
Thank God that turned out not to be true.
A time waster. I would come home and I'd get up for work the next morning and she'd still be playing Miss Pac-Man. Like she would have been up all night playing Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah.
So it's clearly, she's right. It was an absolute mind rot because there it was.
Yeah, man. And maybe the biggest game ever. Sold a pile of Nintendos on the back of that little fucking plumber running around. And
Luigi.
Yeah, I remember my uncle had it before I did, and obviously, you know, grown man at that point, but just...
Is this the same uncle that would have the WrestleMania?
No. Okay, this won't surprise you at all to learn that the WrestleMania uncle is on my mom's side, and the Nintendo uncle is on my dad's side.
Well, Matt, Matt never stood a chance.
You can see what people were spending their money on, and... But he had it first, I believe, and we ended up getting it much later on as kids. But yeah, it you know, as it went on, like, I've told the story on the show before. There was one level in that game I could never beat.
Five?
I don't know. This is the first one where those spiky guys are being thrown out of a cloud from up above you.
Oh, I love the little turtles with the little spikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuckers. And I couldn't get through it. And so I would get up at like 6 a.m, I would get to that level, and then before my dad left for work, like I'd be trying to finish the level just before as he was putting his work boots on, and then he would come in, beat that level, carry on to work, and I could keep playing until it was time for school.
Boy.
So
and one of those kids that turned it off, just turned the TV off at the end of the night and left the game.
Yeah. Well, there was a discussion on Twitter not too long ago about, you know, talk about something that kids today wouldn't relate to. And there's a million different things, but that was one of them that we talked to. Yeah. But that was one of the things that friend of the show, Chris Stevenson, and I talked about was this idea that you paused the game, turned the TV off, left to go do whatever you had to do, and just hoped like hell when you got back.
Yeah.
No one had hit the power button or the game hadn't shorted out or whatever. And it would still be sitting there waiting for you. So
well, on the great cheats, right? Where you could jump levels.
Yep.
But then it got to the point where I remember I'm in grade 13, maybe. I'm doing a March break trip to Quebec City,
mm-hmm.
that I have to be up and catching the bus at, I don't know, 5 a.m.
Ugh.
I stayed up the whole night just playing it from level 1 to level 8 with no cheats, right? Just, you know, banging down the free lives, you know, grabbing all my coins,
yeah.
and going right to level 8. Right, it was the Hammer Brothers that used to piss me off the most, yeah. right?
Well, and that fucking princess. Oh, this isn't my princess. Your princess is in another... I'm good with this one, man.
Yeah.
Like, let's just What's get out of here.
You look like you're 14, but...
So, yeah, so did Mario, but...
With a big mustache.
Yeah, well, there's... supposed to be Peach, I think.
Yes.
what are you gonna do? As we move through here, I want to remind listeners, stick around later this week. We're going to be talking to Paul Romanuk, longtime NHL play-by-play guy. I think did some Blue Jays baseball, lots of IIHF.
Lots
events.
Of World Junior stuff back in the day in the 90s with those five consecutive. I think that's a Romanuk product.
Yep, for sure. So I touched base with him just before we came on air and confirmed that we were still good to go. And he said yes, so look for that later this week. Paul Romanuk's going to be on the show. That's going to be... I don't know, he got kind of a rough ride when he came back to Hockey Night, and to me that was weird because I'm not a huge fan of Jim Houston. I know most people don't have the same distaste that I do.
I was a huge fan, and now I am solidly off the bandwagon.
Okay. But he was the number two guy there, called a bunch of conference finals, and then he was just gone.
Well, and did Romanuk not, with Millen, not get the Leaf games?
Yes. He was the Leaf regional guy as well.
So how do you not get, how do you go from being really on the flagship production to out?
Yeah. It's a fair question, man.
That is a rough ride. Now, did he take Greg Millen with him? Because
no, unfortunately.
Because I don't.
I'm a big time Paul Romanuk fan. I am not so much a Greg Millen fan.
Okay.
So.
Well, I wasn't loving Romanuk at the time.
Right.
But. I'd like another listen.
Yeah, for sure. So, but he also, you know, Spangler Cups, KHL games. He disappeared for several years. His wife had a big time corporate gig in England. And so he went off to London with her and wanted to continue on with his sports broadcasting career over there. And he said that, you know, they're a little bit and he used this word, I'm not using, xenophobic about their accents. And then he says right afterwards, as we are in Canada, it would be weird for a British voice to suddenly be calling NHL games or whatever. But he did cover several different Olympic sports while he was posted over there, did some Spangler Cups, did some KHL games.
Wasn't he doing the Paralympic wrap-up too?
He did do the 2012...
London Games?
Yep. Yeah. So I want to ask him about that. Of course, a friend of the show, Amy Burke, competed at those games. So I want to ask him a little bit about that as well. So, hey,
and also a little shout out while we're doing this, in the middle of a shout out.
Yeah.
Netflix, Rise of the Phoenix.
Right.
Check it out. Paralympics. Carry on.
You don't want to give a little more? Or?
To me, it was...
I haven't seen it yet.
I watched it. And
it's a doc on the Paralympics.
It is indeed. Yeah. It is indeed. To me, it could always be better. I think the blind get short shrift.
Always.
But you are, to me, it's done in a professional way. It could have been done better, but to me, it represents the Paralympic movement well.
Right.
So Rise of the Phoenix on Netflix. Give it a look.
Paul Romanuk on Tall Can Audio later this week. Give it a listen.
Give it a listen.
So as we sit here on Sunday afternoon, we can flash back to last night. Joe Pavelski scores another goal. That is his 57th playoff goal, moving him into third place in terms of all-time playoff goals by Americans. Would you like to take a stab at the two guys ahead of him?
I would, Matt. Brett Hull.
Brett Hull is incorrect.
Canadian-born guy anyway.
Exactly.
Let's go with Mike Modano.
Mike Modano is one ahead of him with 58. The next one is rough. You got the one I thought you'd get.
Okay, rough. Can I get an era that he played in?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Joey Mullen?
Joey Mullen is correct. He's at 60. So Joe Pavelski still with a reasonable chance before his...
This year.
Yeah, could be, man, with the way this is going. Why don't we stick on that for a little while? As I said, it's Sunday afternoon, so by the time the good listener hears this, I guess it'll be the Eastern game that has gone ahead. But Dallas now up on Vegas.
Yeah, but see, just a second. Joey Mullen...
Okay.
Calgary Flames, right?
Yep.
That in that absolute heyday of
86, 89.
How dominant the Flames were, right?
Outside over everyone but Edmonton.
But Edmonton, right?
Yeah.
But so.
And I think he jumped onto that Pittsburgh.
Uh huh.
Yeah. They were hot.
I believe you're right. But so, fuck Rob, he's a genius.
Yeah. Well.
On the fly.
Yeah. It's good to have you back, being humble as ever.
Yeah, it's rougher when you're looking at me, right? It's.
When I can hit mute when you're I'll come back in a minute.
I can see you.
Might be finished.
I can see you.
60 goals for Joey Mullen, 58 for Mike Modano, 57 right now for Joe Pavelski. So by the time this round's over, you got to assume he'll have at least tied Modano. But by the time his career's done, he's got a reasonable shot of taking that over. Are you surprised that Dallas is picking apart Vegas this?
I'm going to tell you right now, I had him in the pool this regular season, and he sucked ass. So now, Jimmy Neal was saying, yeah, I brought him in. I brought him in for playoff leadership and playoff production, not regular season.
Saw a great tweet earlier today that said, no one should be surprised that Dallas is in this position. This is always the time of year where everyone assumes Jim Neal's team's going to win the cup.
Yes. It's one of those things where you go, Can I just ask a question? We talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago with the Heiskanen.
I'm still on Heiskanen.
Cuthbert seems to go back and forth, right, with his Heiskanen and his Heiskanen. And it was Cassie Campbell's pronunciation of Rick Bowness. Bowness.
Okay.
As opposed to bonus.
Right.
Right.
Is it a Skype delay or
no? To me, she says it. It's like when you talk about me saying TV.
Yeah, you say it weird.
Bonus. I just like.
Well, for the new listeners, just I want to Rob doesn't say TV. Rob says TV. The emphasis is weird.
I don't even notice the difference when you say it.
Okay. Well,
TV.
The emphasis doesn't have to go on the V so much. It's weird.
Well, I think that's the way I do everything.
Carry on for the next 100 episodes, listeners. Just pay attention because you won't be able to not hear it now.
Okay. TV. Bought a new TV.
No, that was normal enough.
Okay.
See, when he's thinking about it, he does it right.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I am surprised, but I think...
I'm sorry. Was that a weird tangent?
I think...
This show never does.
Yeah. I think you were looking at the Tall Can Audio Good Karma. We talked about this and say, you got to let the horses loose, man. You got to put the emphasis on the offense.
Yeah. Is that what you're seeing?
No. But what I am seeing is a team that... that sort of backslid into the top four to make it into that seeding round.
Yeah.
You know, our good Western correspondent pointed out percentage got in on just points percentage,
yes,
really, and then didn't do great things in that.
In the round robin.
And you're like, you're playing the wrong way, right? You gotta let these guys loose. And ever since then, they've been lighting it up. But it's also the flip side of.
Lighten it up.
Okay, well, they lit it up in the last round, and they've been
right.
It's been tough here.
That's fair.
But to me, this is Vegas. This is Vegas putting a fair amount of feces in their own bed. Like
we hate that.
Yeah, for sure we do. Especially when it's creamy.
Ooh.
Right, hot peanut butter in a wool blanket. Geez. That's what we're talking about here.
Right.
Sorry about that, good listener. Yeah. I'm excited to be back in the studio. Right?
I also have noticed you're back in studio.
Yeah. They've scored, I think, 10 goals in the last 7 games, Vegas, something along those lines.
Yeah.
We thought Thatcher Demko, he's shutting him down. And you go, well, watching the highlights of last night's game, which was a 3-2 Stars win. There must be a magnet on Hudobin's crest.
Well,
that fucking puck is just, they're putting it right in the middle of the net.
There's a certain, that's absolutely true. There's a certain amount, though, and this is, for listeners unfamiliar, where you start to see a stat called score effects come in a big way. And in theory, you normally only see this in the third period, but it depends on your style. It depends on the matchup. It depends on how early somebody gets the lead. Score effects is essentially the idea that if I'm up 3-1, 5-2, whatever it might be going into the third period, I'm very unlikely to get as many shots in the third period as the team who's trailing. I'm almost predisposed to sitting back, letting the other team pepper, we're going to try and keep them to the outside, whatever it might be. And I see a lot of that with Vegas right now. They're getting down early, and then you can say they're carrying the play, and it's true, but they're not nearly as dangerous as they have been. It's all just kind of this, holy crap, I'm going to shoot from everywhere. I'm going to try and get pucks on net because we're down to this team that is a very good defensive team. In Dallas, and even in the last round, it wasn't so much that Vancouver was a great defensive team, but they were getting great goaltending, and so you just start throwing shit at the net. And so for your very basic understanding, score effects is just compensating for the idea of the situation, leading.
It's the idea that you are the better team, and I am dominating the hits stat. Well, because you got the puck. And I am chasing
who hits
it all
more,
the time.
Right? Yeah. The team who's got the puck or the team who doesn't, right? So there's a lot of things that go into it, but that's essentially the idea. And so this idea that Vegas is still dominating because they're carrying the shots and the opportunities is just not really accurate. And they're not carrying the play anywhere near the point I thought they would. And I don't know what's going to happen in the East. And by the time the listener hears this, Game 4 will be in the books there. But man, Dallas looks like they're going to make this happen. And the Islanders have taken a stand, at least in Game 3, and said, we're not going away easy. I still think Tampa's going to get that done. That may sound silly or or right on the nose, depending on how things go tonight.
Yeah, well, what depends tonight is will there be point? Killorn will be back.
Yeah, when they had Killorn, Stamkos, and Point out, that's 35% of their offense was sitting on the...
Yeah, and so if you look at it and you look at the Vegas, that Vegas team,
yeah,
it's Shea Theodore and Stastny. Those are the guys who've been standing out the most, right? You're like, what is Marchessault and Smith and Carlson and Pacioretty and Stone is...
Habs fans have been yucking it up on Twitter.
Yeah, Stone has been one of those guys where you go... There's a lot of action and not a lot of end result, right? So it's kind of, it's that loud noise and you're like, what's happening? Well, nothing.
Right.
He also needs to get his shit together, right? It's really just, they're not doing a pile. And so at the end of the day, you sort of look at it and go, I'm surprised, but maybe not, right?
Rumors circulating around that the deal is done between Vegas and Leonard, 5 years, $5 million per. If that turns out to be true, are you comfortable with that? Yeah, I think I am too.
Yep.
And I'm disappointed because I wanted Toronto to talk to that guy. And
yeah, well, and the thing is, to me, that's if you look at that Pavelski goal or, you know, the backhander, his lateral movement sometimes I think is a bit suspect, right, Leonard?
Yep.
But he's a big dude and he's consistent.
Yeah. Right?
If you've seen nothing since his late years in Ottawa through Buffalo, through the island,
Chicago,
his stats in Chicago, he is consistent. And if you don't, you know, if you don't shit the bed offensively, he's gonna rack up wins for you. So if you can get him for five times five in a low tax environment.
And I've said it's an unpopular statement. I wondered, you know, I think it was our trade deadline show when Steve Warren was in here with us where I wondered if, you know, the stuff that he's gone through is what scared people off from giving him a long term deal. It seems like Vegas isn't scared of that. Do you think that he might be leaving money on the table? Do you think somebody would have given him seven times three? Or do you think this is...
So that's 3 years.
Yeah.
Times $7 million a year.
Yeah. Like, do you think there might be more money out there for him?
Yeah.
He wants stability. He said that.
He wanted term.
Yeah.
And the money was going to sort of figure itself out.
Yeah.
So to me, if he's getting 5 years, that's what he is most interested in.
I think
in.
So.
And so, you know... You want 3 years at $21 million. You want five at 25.
Sure.
And so, I think, yeah, due to the way he's played in the show me way he's played.
Yeah.
Year contracts. I'll bet on myself.
And win. Like he keeps winning when he bets on himself.
Well, and this is it, right? And you can look at that Varlamov situation and Gray situation in the island and how you could put, I don't know, Reimer or Mrazek in there and they'd. They'd look good. Maybe
it's weird that you picked two goalies from the same.
Yeah, or maybe
also great defensive team.
Maybe Jimmy Howard, right? Yeah. Throw him in there, and he could probably look at how's that. Is that better?
Sure. You could win a GM of the Year award.
GM of the Year award.
Lou Lamoriello wins the Jim Gregory Award.
Okay.
Saturday night.
I'm like, who the hell is Jim Gregory? Got it.
Jim Gregory, God love him, and I do because he's a Leafs guy, but he's. Just the most recent GM to die, and so they named an award after him, and that's he's not the greatest GM or anything in NHL history. Sorry, but that's the way the NHL does things. He's popular and we like it. So Lou wins this.
Yes.
Having added Leo Komarov and Matt Martin to a team that was already built.
GG.
That's a fair call.
Pageau.
Made a great deal to get Pageau. He was getting hacked to bits by Kucherov.
Yeah. Hey, man, don't piss off the honey badger. He's going to get after you.
You know what's interesting about that, and Steve Dangle's gone on about this a few times, is if this is the way the NHL wants things to go, if that's how they're going to, there is no reason for Kucherov not to do that. A, you're obviously not going to give him a penalty. B, I'm already going to lose, and... These penalties don't carry. You're not going to suspend him for a slash to the calf.
And nor should you.
Right. But so fuck it.
It's just probably a fineable offense.
Maybe. Yeah, okay. But why wouldn't you try and... Like, this was a story for a bit. Cooch slashing Pageau all the way down as he's about to put it in the empty net.
He's hooking, and then he just takes a wicked...
So why not? Like, if this is the way the NHL wants to call it, and which means do nothing, then fuck it. I'm going to try and stop you from making that happen. The worst thing that happens is I get a minor, and I'll be back for the next game.
And sort of gloved in the face and punched. Yeah. And the beauty of it is you look at it in the slow-mo, right?
Slow-mo.
JG's got the full step on him.
Yep.
And Cooch has got the hook in, and he's hooking, and he's hooking. You see the jersey moving? And then you see the hack on the sort of calf.
Yeah.
And JG's still obviously focused on the open net.
Mm-hmm.
And right, it's that whole focus that top-end athletes have. But as soon as the puck gets in,
I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, like, who is that? And what is happening here? Yeah, he turns around and takes a whack of his own, yeah. Right? And it's on. But it's the focus, done. I'm doing this. Whatever. It's game on. It's great.
Yeah. To me, it's just classic NHL. Kucherov knows there's no reason not to do it. There's the worst thing that happens, they get a penalty, they award him a goal that he was already going to fucking score, and we'll be back anyway. Like, I'll see you for game four. So, is there anything surprising you in that series? I mean, it's 2-1. I don't think anyone expected Tampa would sweep, but I still think Tampa's been by far the better team.
I think if they bring back Point tonight, who I think may hit, you know, it's possible up there with Heiskanen that he may be, you know,
for the Conn Smythe,
the best player in the playoffs so far, Braden Point.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they bring back Killorn and Point tonight, this is a 5-game series, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And it's honestly been the one that I've watched the least of, like, which that sucks to me. Tampa's fun to watch. Like, they're so talented. They have great stuff up and down the lineup. And they're just being bogged down by shit, right? Like, it's not quite 1995 New Jersey Devils, which we've talked about before, although GM is the same, I guess.
Yeah.
But I hate it. And it's not quite the same as Dallas. I know Dallas is trying to do that. But Dallas's top-end defenders are Heiskanen and Klingberg, and they can make some shit happen in Lindell.
Yeah, he's good both ways.
Yeah, and Roope Hintz is now hurt. I don't know if he's going to play for them again up front, but
is there a less Finnish sounding name than Roope Hintz?
No.
He sounds like he's from the subcontinent, really, is what he sounds like.
I don't know what's going to happen there, and I know people want to keep drawing the comparison, and I don't want to watch a Dallas New York Islanders Stanley Cup final, but to me, Dallas has more something, right? And
yeah, well, what they have more of is they have, it's more of that you're excited by what they're bringing in terms of, and they have a late game push that is pretty sweet to watch, yeah. Right? Where they got that kind of rope-a-dope thing, but they're strong late.
Rope-a-hints-a-dope thing.
Yep. I'm sad to say here, and I'm not sure if it doesn't happen most years, by the end of the conference finals, I get a bit checked out, right?
I'm just checking back in.
Okay.
And we've talked about this, right? I always get the Leaf hangover. I'm like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah. Which for years happened in March.
Yeah. Well, yes, true. And then for a couple of years happened in late April when we made the playoffs, lost in the first round.
Well.
And now we didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah. And you can't be blamed because I look at in other years when I've been so invested in the World Juniors and you're like, every game I'm so invested, and you go, okay, that's over, and now I got to go back to early January NHL hockey.
And they're just coasting to the All-Star break.
Whereas for a guy who, your team is in that play-in series, and you're like, okay, this is fucking important, and everything is really, I can't get super invested in blank Columbus-Tampa,
right?
As it is. Although you'd want to see one of those teams.
I wanted to see Tampa kick the fucking shit out of Columbus.
Well, there you go, 5 games.
Didn't watch it, but wanted it to happen.
See, to me, the second round is always the best. First and second round of...
To me, the first is always the best.
And
maybe that's because my team's still in it. But
yeah, and I am just sort of... Yeah, the NHL has really been second to me now in the last couple of weeks to the Jays. I've been watching Jays first.
Yeah.
NHL second. Raptors third.
On Saturday night, the Jays call up 21-year-old Alejandro Kirk I guess they called him up Friday. He makes his debut Saturday, catching Robbie Ray, who actually had a really nice outing after he's been okay since he came over. But did you get a look at the measurements on Alejandro Kirk?
I think he's pushing the Toledos at a substantial
5'8", 265.
Bartolo Colon-ish.
Love that guy.
Well, he's a catcher, right?
Yeah, I guess. I've never seen a catcher quite so roly-poly as but he doesn't look out of place at the plate. This is a guy who had, I think, less than 150 at-bats at low A and high A combined. He was supposed to go to double A this year. But after getting nothing out of Reese McGuire...
Oh, both guys, really.
And Caleb Joseph as well wasn't... And you're right, yeah, Danny Jansen, who's been strange, eh? He was supposed to be a hitting catcher. And aside from that first September when they called him up, that hasn't really played out. So they're looking for a bat. They're looking for someone with some thunder. And they go to this 21-year-old kid. And if you're going to be on the roster, at some point you're going to have to catch. And he did an okay job with that. There was one or two opportunities where they... You know, had to chat a little bit, well, waving off a call.
New pitching staff's got to be.
Yep. But interesting, man. He does get a base hit. He gets a walk. He's everything he's advertised to be. And in his first at bat, he just misses crushing one.
Yeah.
Like, he hammered it, but it was foul. But it was fucking far. Man, this Jays team, forget whether they're any good or not, which they seem to be okay. They're fun, man. They're just fun to watch. Like, they're a nightmare on the base path. There's some weird shit happening in the starting rotation in terms of not knowing who's starting the next day till, like, you're watching that night's game. But they're fun to watch.
At what point, we are now the Jays, I believe, at the time of recording. They're playing right now.
Yes.
They're 45. They're playing their 46th game of the year.
Yeah.
There's some funky shit happening everywhere.
Yes.
Like, you look at Saturday night's game. In the ninth inning alone, Jonathan Villar almost gets picked off of first.
Yep.
And how many times do you actually see that throw over? Like, when's the last time you can think of a guy who got picked off?
In the bottom of the ninth. Or
yeah.
The
ninth, okay, I was going to say, so Villar, who they were really undetermined whether he made it back in.
Yeah.
And then the Jays, DeLeese throws out blank. I can't remember who the guy's name was.
Yeah.
But twice in one inning, you're like,
yeah.
That's one of those things where you go, I'm going to check you. I'm going to throw over there and the fans boo, you know, and you're like, why are you booing, man? He's just doing his job.
Fan sound effects.
Yeah. And then you got.
When my team throws over there, it's brilliant strategy.
Essentially.
When your team throws over there, you're a coward.
Essentially, you had two guys picked off of first in the ninth inning last night.
Yeah.
Which I can't remember the last time.
No.
Right. And so I'm not sure what point in the season you go, all right, this sort of choppy start to the season due to whatever is.
Okay, but in a normal season, it's May 10th, May 12th.
No, I know, but I'm saying at that point, you've already played your 45 games, and here we've played our 45 games, and you're like,
2 weeks away from the playoffs.
Yeah, but can you iron that shit out is what I'm saying.
Yep.
At this point, you're like, that's fucking weird.
It's been fun to watch, and it's been really easy to say, you know, this exciting team, it looks like they're going to make the playoffs. Nobody's in Toronto really talking much, but they had to expand the playoffs for that to happen. But this team, like, to me...
Well, it's one of those things where you go, you may finish in front of the Yankees in the year where they've expanded the playoffs.
Right.
It doesn't seem... It seems like trash.
Like, three quarters of the Yankees roster is on the IL.
Hey, man, no Teoscar, no Bichette,
yeah,
no Giles, right?
There was a great tweet by Mike Wilner yesterday that said it was Teoscar who was hitting off a tee and somebody else who was Tellez or somebody.
Rowdy Tellez, there's another guy.
Was riding the bike. Did he just look
First time ever Rowdy's rode a bike, I think.
I was like, did he just look out the window to the park? Because he seems like this seems like awesome childhood fun. People hitting off a tee and riding their bikes around.
Exactly. Where's the tetherball?
Right. So
where's that shit at?
But you're right. The Jays are suffering their own injuries. And it was amazing to watch even just Bo coming back into the lineup and how that stretched things back out a little bit, right? And made them more dangerous with Biggio leading off. say what you want about Shaw. He's been hot and super cold at different times.
Yeah, he and Panic both.
Yeah. Kurychuk, you know, but it at least gets you down six or seven batters deep.
Shut up, Randall. Nobody cares. Do better. Work harder.
I don't know, man. This is one of those seasons that probably just because of the expanded playoffs, and the craziness of the short season, this Jays team has been a ton of fun to watch, man. And they've been my number one ahead of the NHL playoffs. Certainly the Raptors are out now. We can talk about that in a second.
And when was the last time you look at that bullpen, which was a shitstorm nightmare for the past couple
three,
of seasons,
four
right?
years, yeah.
Like, you look at between... and
going back to Jason Grilly.
Gas can Grilly. if you look at between Bass, Dolis...
Shun Yamaguchi?
Yeah, I'm thinking of Romano.
Yeah, Jordan Romano. Toronto's own.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize that he was a Canadian kid.
His fingers fucked up, I guess.
But to me, he was
finger bang, hey!
Finger bang? Is that what you said?
Maybe. Somebody said that. Who's
who is that? Yeah, what those guys have brought, right, is just... It's been a revelation, right? From guys you're like, who's that guy? Hatch? Yep. Throw a Hatch in the mix too?
Well, year to year, the bullpen on almost any team.
Sure.
You've no fucking idea, right? Last year they all sucked. This year they're all awesome.
Yeah, but you bring Giles back in and if and when, right? And you
Let him throw 20 pitches in that 18-1 debacle.
But you slant in Bass and Dolis, Cole maybe, whatever that looks like. Romano if he ever comes back.
Yep.
And you go, man, that's some nice arms in sort of, and I'm not sure where this term comes, but I'm fucking hit over the head with it on a daily basis. This high leverage situations, you're like, can we just call that 6-9? Like, is that what we're talking about here?
Well, 6-9, if you're up a little bit or whatever, if you're down 18-1, it's not overly high leverage.
No, I know. That's where Shin Yamaguchi comes in, right?
He's been better lately. I got more faith in him, honestly, than Dolis at this point, unless we're picking off guys at first.
But Dolis, I think, had put together a nice stretch prior to last night.
So
and
Sean,
really, Dan Shulman should take the blame for this.
Friend of the show.
He's like, his first two pitches, two strikes, and you're like, he's up 0-2 and he's cruising. And you're like, okay, that's the kiss of death, man, right there. What are you doing? Because no doubt, walks and struggles, and you're like, come on, man.
There's two on, nobody out.
Yeah, this is it, right? The double play is nice. But yeah, they have been super interesting. And so if and when, and I don't have the good, injury list update.
I can't call it the DL anymore.
Yeah, on Teoscar and Rowdy. But if those guys...
Sounds like Rowdy's done.
For the season?
Yeah. But...
Stepping... You know, that's a fat guy injury if I ever saw one, right?
But he had sort of taken that three spot, right? And they liked going left, right a little bit, and he was helping with that.
Well, and if he could hit more at Fenway. You look at his numbers at Fenway, he's just crushing it.
Yeah, like 500.
Right. If I can hit more in Boston against Boston pitching, all those sweet change-up pitchers they got going down there.
Teoscar, they're more optimistic about than they were 3 or 4 days ago. He's hitting off the tee. The soft muscle stuff in the oblique is sort of unpredictable, but they're more optimistic than they were that, you know, it's not like it's going to be tomorrow or anything, but that maybe he gets back before the playoffs start. And it does look more and more. Man, that first round, who knows, right?
I want to see anybody outside of Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too. Like, I would do any of that. And it's... 2 out of 3, all at the home park.
Yeah.
Of, but if you're content to run out Ryu in the first game, and then I guess you'd go Walker, but I could see the idea.
How about that, eh?
Tywin Walker.
Yeah. It's going to be him, or you look at the performance.
Chase Anderson has
Robbie Ray put together last night.
Yeah, maybe we'll see another one or two through this. But with how all in the Jays have gone with this advanced stuff. Would it shock you to say in game 2 they go with like Merriweather for 2 innings?
A bullpen game?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not
maybe
at all.
Stripling for 3, 4, and 5, and then go from there. Like,
see, to me, that's your Tampa Bay influence.
Yeah,
right?
Of course it is. Charlie Montoya.
Yeah. The more pressing question for me, Matt, really is, and maybe you can shed some light on this, as a guy with a big shock, a wig, how does Lourdes Gurriel get his batting helmet on that helmet of hair?
So my glorious salad right now is being held down by a hat and then the headphones. Sometimes you need a second clamp to hold that on there.
It's one of those collegiate wrestling.
But it's that catch he made on Saturday night early on, second inning maybe, like that hair should have held him up, stopped him from making the catch, but he still got there, man.
Well, how about the one where he dropped it and he's got on the warning track and you're like, where am I? Oh, dunk. Ah, come on, man. Now, you know what? That outfield, especially in the middle part of this abbreviated season, was hitting lights out with Teoscar and Lourdes when he got hot.
And Grichuk and was Grichuk. Killing it.
And you're like, yeah, so there may be not a gold glove in that mix.
No, there's not.
But you don't mess with it, right? No. You're like, okay, all right, we'll take the odd gaffer as it gets close to the wall. But Randall's been pretty decent out there.
Agreed, man. You referenced Dan Schulman there a couple of minutes ago. He was on the show not too long ago. I would encourage you to go check that out at the all-new TallCanAudio.com. Oh. Mm-hmm. In every...
I had to do the same thing, people, because I'm like, where are we now?
Where's our shit?
I was like, I'm only getting this like July shit in here. Where's the new stuff?
There was a day or two there where we were in between, and that was one of those rare days where Rob did some research. There's an all-new TallCanAudio.com. Basically, anywhere you land on that page, subscription links. They'll take you to Spotify. They'll take you to Apple Podcasts. They'll take you to Google Pods. Wherever you want to be, most of you who follow us on social media will remember that you'd sort of share the website link, and then underneath there'd be another tweet with the different links to the different... It's all in one place now. All the show notes will be there. All the subscribe links will be there. The share links will be there. Check out the all-new TallCanAudio.com, including Dan Schulman, who was on just a week or two ago. You'll find it there. And, of course, later this week, Paul Romanuk will be there as well, man. So,
and what this really means is since I've been last in studio,
March,
Matt has taken the ball and fucking run with it. We've now branched over into a new website. So, really, I think we should take this moment to acknowledge Matt's excellence. That's it, man.
Insert cricket sound effect.
Yeah, get back to it.
What's next?
Yeah, get back on it with the good guests, new website. Come on, okay, you know what? Get moving.
Yep.
What do we got? What's next?
What is next?
Okay, before we cycle out to the Raptors, which I am a fucking expert.
I've heard. Also, briefly, Paul Romanuk's gig calling Raptors on the radio.
I just wanted to touch on it. And as soon as we left the Dallas Stars, Khudobin, right? You heard somebody talking last night, and it's funny because I've been thinking about it for the last couple of games, and somebody mentioned it on the broadcast last night, the comparison to Tim Thomas, right? About Tim Thomas playing.
Yeah, I don't like that comparison.
Okay, but him playing 8 to 10 years in Europe, right? And sort of.
Yeah.
That whole idea of him cycling around and then finding his spot late in his career. You look at Khudobin now and go, do you not sink more money into that guy moving forward and move forward with him?
No, Lou will, but your GM of the year will. I'm not doing shit based on 2 rounds of August hockey. Sorry, man. You have shown yourself to be absolutely an above average backup, and maybe you're 1A or 1B, you know, those types of teams. Maybe you can do, but dude's like 32.
Yeah, he's over 30.
I'm not doing that, man. I'm not going to suddenly hang a starter's to, please, Kyle, don't make me look like an idiot here in a few weeks. I'm not hanging that on him yet. Right? I just don't think he's that guy. He's absolutely been good, but I'm not making any decisions based on weird summer hockey.
Do you see a payday in that guy's future?
Yes, but I don't want it to be from my team. I think it's going to be from, like I said, maybe Lou's team, maybe the old school.
Yeah, but you, and the only thing I would suggest to that is what?
How much term do you want to? Is he not the new Binnington?
No.
Okay.
But I think what he is Jaro Halak.
Who's a perfectly capable 1B backup.
Probably a 1B plus.
No. not a 1A minus.
Yeah, no, I'll take a 1A minus. I'll take that, Matt. Honestly, as somebody who had my grades in school, I am absolutely doing whatever I need to do to get that A on my paper.
Right.
But yeah, see, Jaro Halak to me did not get it done for the Bruins, right? As this super backup, which I think if people looked at that Rask Halak situation, and you look at the Bishop Hudobin, and the difference is Halak did not get it done. Hudobin is. So what's the difference there?
Better team, defensive team? Maybe.
Mm.
Maybe.
You think the Stars are that much better than the Bruins?
Defensively, this is one of those things, man. This is the whole point that I've been making about the Leafs, but I'm not doing shit based on weird summer hockey. 3 months off.
Yep.
Here we are. I don't know. Did anyone predict the Islanders would make it this far? Did anyone predict the Stars would make it this far in September?
No.
Like a year ago.
And no.
So he may be full value. And if someone will give him starter money, take it, man.
Yeah.
So, I just don't want it to be my team.
And I agree with you. I agree with you. Yeah,
so you were trying to trap me into saying something stupid.
We're having a conversation here, man.
Oh.
And so in 3 months when he is the Leaf starter, we can have
and
another.
I'm sitting here calling out for Jack Campbell to get the net.
We can have another. No, even better than that, when you're calling out for
Kaskasu.
What a great fucking game, Hudobin, the Russian.
Maybe.
The roly-poly Russian
Hudobie.
Goalie, right? Yeah, Dobie. Whatever, you know, when you're, you know.
Let me ask you a couple months early.
Virtues. Yeah.
Who was the Russian goalie in the World Junior game when Everly scored his goal? It's a Christmas tradition unlike any other.
I refuse to answer, man. I'm gonna hold that. And we will
every year he does.
We will reconvene in 3 months or 4 months or
Jalobniak.
Hey, stop it, man. I knew the answer.
You did not.
I did. I was just.
This would be the first time you've ever known.
I was just building suspense, man.
He's got a reminder set in his phone.
I absolutely do.
Yeah. No. Look, he's been very good. Dallas has been very good in front of him. But this screams somebody making a poor, poor decision.
Overpay!
Yeah.
Overpay!
I think that's coming, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm hoping it's in a blue and white jersey, man.
There's going to be, I think, a lot of goaltending move. And I wonder.
That's a whole different show, Matt.
Before we move off of it, though, Colorado next year is in that weird situation we touched on.
I'm investing heavily in Francouz. Big time.
Whose house?
Francouz.
they're in that situation that Toronto was in a couple years ago where instead of giving Marlowe 1 year, they gave him 3. They have money for a year and they're loaded.
Yeah.
In a year, they got some big time bills to pay. But could you, and I wonder,
be smart now.
The guys out there, would you give Holtby something stupid for 1 year? Or Matt Murray? Or, like, is there going to be some crazy goaltending moves made?
I love the Grubauer move, so I'm going back to Washington and saying, Braden Holtby, come on down.
$10 million 1 year.
Oh, see, it would have to be something like that, though.
It would have to be.
If you're not going to give Holtby term, you got to give him fat Marner cash.
I think that's the thing, though, right? That for 1 year, we got room to really go for it. And Matt, they have a ton of room.
I think you should be calling up Dubas. I think he needs your help. I think he needs that keen insight right there. Because
we can't give Holtby Fat Mark.
No.
We
you can can't.
Him,
I'm
we,
saying
we can give him
I'm
fat
saying,
Mikko Lettinen.
Yeah. How about Fat Rico Fata Cash?
Yes.
No, I'm talking about, yeah, that is exactly what needs to happen in Colorado, not in Toronto.
Right.
You don't have any, you've already given up the fat.
Our fat cash
yeah,
is
exactly.
gone.
Everybody only has one Fat Marner Cash contract.
Yeah.
But no, because you either go, hey, Braden, we'll give you 10 this year and 2 next.
That's still $5 million cap hit. I'm giving
that's
him
a 6.
One, okay, whatever. I'm giving him $1 million or 1 year. That's what I got for you. One year.
That's what I'm saying is you distribute the cash however you need to do it, right? To me, but that's.
I want no hangover because I think Makar might, again, next year, make himself even more money.
Yeah.
McKinnon's going to get a raise. I think Landeskog's up again. Like,
hog.
The hog.
Yeah.
So, to me, Colorado's got room to do some crazy shit for 1 year. And I don't know. I guess my question to you on this thing was, out of all these goalies who could be in the dryer, right, flipping around looking to see who's going to fall out first, which one would you overpay if you're Colorado? I think Murray's going to be on the move.
Yeah, I want if you're looking at Crawford and you're, which clearly I think Chicago's.
I think both Edmonton guys are available. I think both Calgary guys are available.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
No, I know. I'm just throwing them. I think Freddie's available. I think there's a lot of guys.
Freddie's available in a trade, though.
Yeah. You're right. That you don't have to overpay for that.
I think if you were to put Freddie in that group. I'm putting Freddie close to the top of what I would like.
I'd have Holtby first.
I was going to say close to the top.
Yeah.
And I want Holtby amongst the rest. If you look at Murray with his, it's got a checkered injury history, right? And what can you really.
Plus he upsets his teammates with his Instagram behavior.
Oh, see now, you know what? And since we're transitioning out,
yep.
I see that.
Jonas?
Barstool Sports is.
Oh.
Tweeting out that, Jonas has
and
on Instagram. I see on that note that in the Matt Murray vein of things, that Jonas Antetokounmpo, has sort of unfollowed
everybody. He's down to like 9 or 10.
The Bucks and all his teammates.
Also
on,
Nike. Like
it's interesting, man.
Yeah, because I brought this up when Matt Murray unfollowed all his Penguins.
You did, and I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah. And so Jonas unfollows all his Milwaukee teammates, but he also unfollows Nike, who's his, his.
Fat
cash. Is he moving to Adidas, or is this just who fucking gives a shit because it's Instagram? Who cares? I said at the time with Matt Murray, it means something.
It meant that he was going to be the starter in the playoffs.
Apparently. Twist the old Instagram like whatever. Is. To me, it means less with Giannis just because he unfollowed everything. He didn't just unfollow his teammates. I don't know what that means. Did he purge his fucking follow list?
His ex-wife has control of his account.
Oh, you can't be in that spot. What kind of fool allows
idiot.
That?
Idiot! Idiot!
Yeah, but there's been talk, I guess, around the bubble that he'd be interested
Giannis
in Miami.
Giannis hates the Bucks. Giannis is a douchebag. Giannis has no integrity.
Hmm.
That's what his ex-wife would say if she was
okay.
I thought you'd been
deeper into the bubble than I have.
Yeah. If Giannis' ex-wife was running his account,
right.
That's what it would say.
The talk has been that he's most interested in Miami and in Toronto.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So we'll see what that looks like. But the Raps go down on Friday night in 7 games to the Celtics in fairly... uninspired fashion. To me, it didn't look like a lack of effort, but there was absolutely a lack of execution at the risk of Matty Lang ripping us both. What'd you think of?
Yeah. Well, and you've brought up Matty, so now it allows me to to segue that way.
I love you, Matty. What happens next is out of my hands.
Hey, no, I think Matty is a is an outstanding gentleman. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a hardworking frontline healthcare worker, all those things.
But.
And I think he's also the shrewdest basketball guy that comes on this show.
Oh, that's fair. That part's for sure fair.
See you next show, everybody.
After Maddie.
Maddie telling me to keep my takes to myself or keep to stick to lacrosse takes. That's like,
okay. You don't talk enough lacrosse.
Yeah. Maddie then should stick to just horse racing or whatever jockey talk comes up at the water cooler. I think that's how that goes.
Kentucky Derby was weird this year, man. It's just horses running in a circle with no fans.
And the fact that Maddie was able to tweet out at all after being at the Queen's Plate yesterday. Clearly riding the third or fourth place horse.
He's calling him a wee jockey. Good listener.
Like a young Spud Webb or a Muggsy Bogues. It's probably more Muggsy Bogues than Spud Webb coming in at a cool, mean 5'3".
Do you have a point? Are we going somewhere?
Yeah. The fact that I am not an ardent NBA or Raptors fan does not make me tickless.
Raptors Twitter hates us drifting in after the Leafs inevitably flame out. We all jump on a successful bandwagon.
Nah, see, I don't. I'm not on that bandwagon.
Okay.
At all.
Okay.
And now I would love to have seen them win.
Of course.
Like, to me, that they are a great story. To me, they are an overachieving team this year.
Man, opportunity missed, right?
Well, you look at the way...
Miami moving on instead of Milwaukee.
And again, I've played enough sports that I can watch. And as I said to you in the green room, I can't break down the nuts and bolts of a basketball game. But you can look at it and go...
Well, we all can see, hey, 18 turnovers... That's going to be a problem, man. Like,
well, you look at the way the Celtics shot in that game and how poorly they shot.
Yes.
And they
went 341 in the fourth quarter without a point.
And they still win?
Yeah.
That's on you, Raptors.
Right. And that was the frustrating part, right? It was so obvious, right? You don't have to be an expert. You can stop feeding the ball right into the fucking traffic. Stop. Like, and there was some weird calls down the stretch. There was some weird giveaway fouls, like things like that, that you wonder what a disciplined defensive team like that is doing. But, man, it was strange. And the whole series, even though they forced it to seven, it never felt like Toronto was the better team, even in the games they won at times, right? Like maybe game three was the one. Game three they pulled out at the last second, I guess.
That's the OG shot.
Yeah. But, like, there were moments where you were just like, they have no business in the series, which was so strange. I didn't feel like this was an overrated. I don't remember the term you used. It wasn't overrated.
Overachieving?
Yeah. To me, I didn't see that. I thought the system that they played with the guys that they had all the way through the season, it was legit.
Well, and to me, what I understand or don't understand is that probably the Celtics, as a team who play very similarly,
yeah,
right, in terms of a transition team, yes, a good defensive team,
yeah,
right, who are you're going to get points off of the transition, that's kind of the worst opponent for, right. And the record through the regular season, which is all I tweeted out,
yeah,
right, was regular season this year and bubble history. Like the only team that the Raptors lost to in the finish of the regular season,
yeah,
was in a blowout to the Celtics.
Right.
And then two blowouts in this series, like games that weren't close at half.
Well, sometimes, right, matchups make...
For sure they do. And that's all I was saying. And I was told to shut my uninformed pie hole, which is fine, right?
At Matthew Lang, at Captain Lohard, you can go back and find it.
Yeah, which is clearly fanboy with his pajamas on, is not happy with a little negativity, perhaps, where I look at it as just an impartial view on the I would love to see the Raptors win that game, and I said that in the tweet.
Yeah, well, because it looks like they're good. They'd beat Miami.
I think they would. Just by my knowledge, I think they lose to the Bucks.
Yeah,
but I think they beat the Heat.
I do too. And then lose to probably whoever's coming out of the West, right? Like, well, to me, that's sort of my...
It depends, I guess. If you look at how they ran through in the... they beat the Lakers, I think, both times, the time they visited out West.
Right.
I'm fuzzy on whether they beat the Clippers and lost to the Lakers or beat the Lakers, lost to the Clippers on their Western trip back sort of around late in the year, early
been
in the new
a
year.
Fucking year, man.
Yeah, for sure. But... And then beat the Lakers in the bubble in the round robin in the end of the regular season, so it's interesting and I'm also fascinated and I want to come, I really want to preface this with, man, Kyle Lowry is an interesting cat, right? But have you seen a guy with a bigger reversal of public opinion than that guy in the last year and a half? Pre-Kawhi. Like if you look at the DeRozan and Lowry teams that sort of continually underachieved.
Yeah, somehow.
And then they traded away DeRozan, and people are like, why couldn't you trade Lowry and keep DeRozan? Right? How that whole thing went down.
Well, and the relationship apparently with
Masai.
Yeah, afterwards was not good, right? You traded my buddy.
I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I can't.
Yeah. I wonder, man, it's an interesting point because, to me, Kyle had some heat for a long time, right? He didn't want to play through injuries, even though he clearly was playing through injuries.
Went down to the Final Four when he should have been in town.
Right. There was a lot of things going on there. And
throwing up 0 points to open the playoffs last year.
I think there's a certain amount of, you traded away the other guy we loved, the guy you brought back left. You almost have to.
Yeah. No. And I think as a 6 foot guy who.
Oh, he's a warrior.
Yeah. Who flops a bit on the defensive side, but, you know, he puts it out there.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, I don't want to. I just think the public outpouring of adoration should just, hey, take a step back, people.
He's all that's left, though, right? Like, no one was going to embrace Pascal. With how that went down,
yeah,
Van Fleet might leave. How all the Gasol and Serge
Ibaka,
OG. We'll see what's going to happen here. Well,
it's super interesting times, right?
I think
in terms
so too,
of,
man.
Of what happens,
and everything changes in a hurry.
And Lowry,
if Giannis does decide,
and Lowry is 34.
In
that range, right? Like he is. I think he's a great Robin. I think, is that fair to say?
Yep. From my limited.
From both of ours.
Yeah.
But again, as sports guys.
Yep. It's not like we're not paying attention.
Right. And I think you look at enough other sports when you look at this and go, okay, yeah, all right, I can see that. Bam.
So let me throw this last one out before we get out of here then. Because by the time the good listener hears, they'll be able to laugh at us or agree with us.
It's okay.
At 4:25 Sunday afternoon. Tom Brady makes his debut
against the Saints
with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Saints. And a great stat someone posted on Twitter, and if I had done more research, I'd tell you who. This is the fourth decade where Tom Brady and Drew Brees have faced off as they met in college in 99, Michigan versus Purdue.
Wow.
4 decades these two quarterbacks have faced off against each other, obviously then through...
Who's 99? Had the better career?
Oh, it's Brady, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brees is no slouch, but so 4 decades, 99, obviously then 2000, 2010s, and here we are in 2020. Like I said, by the time the good listener gets to hear this, it'll be in the books. Is that to me, that's the week one matchup I'm most interested in. I want to see what Brady looks like with Tampa.
I want Bills Jets. That's what I want to see.
The Bills look like, man, week one favorites in
for sure
in the AFC East. Did text a little bit with the aforementioned Matty Lang before the show.
Patriots super fan.
Yep. But he said, like, he goes, yeah, like probably for the Bills, but who the fuck knows? We didn't get to see anything in camp, didn't get to see any preseason games.
Yeah.
A lot like all of these sports that we're watching, it's probably the Bills, but who the hell knows?
Yeah, but let's face it, that you know, they've been in the past couple of years, they've held a lot of starters out of exhibition games, preseasons.
For sure.
So it's really, it's, I think the starters like it better.
Do you think, is that the week one matchup for you?
Well, that is the one that'll have the most eyeballs on it. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people interested to see how Cam Newton does.
Yes.
With the Belichick Patriots. But yeah, I think clearly everybody wants to see. They know what they're going to get with the Saints. I think everybody's interested to see what the Fournette, Brady, Gronk, what that show looks like in Tampa,
still
right?
Still got any gas left in the tank.
And so, yeah, to me, that is the most, you know, in a circus sideshow kind of a way, right? As opposed to, you know, that'll bring in the non-football fan.
Right. Like me.
Like me.
Yeah. So there it is. Before we get out of here then, we're going to get out of here on some slightly different music than we normally do. This is James Mellish. He has a parody of Jason Derulo's Riding Solo, which we've both heard. I reached out to him, asked if he'd mind if we played it on the way out, man. I dug the lyrics.
The lyric work is strong.
Yeah. And we'll hit you with it. I wonder, Sens Chirp was on Twitter on Saturday going at a couple people, actually kind of strong. He hasn't been around a lot. I wonder if he came back drunk or he was on vacation or what. But he's saying that, I wonder if Sens fans right now, as much as you hate Melnick, is there a lineup right now of people wanting to buy, given the pandemic and everything? Certainly, he flat out admits Melnick's the worst. Is there anyone lined up to buy a hockey team right now in the nation's capital? And whether or not, like, for better or worse, this is what you have right now. But fun song, man. And I know you heard, but did you see Chirp's?
No, I didn't. But I'm sure there's a bunch of, you know, Catholic choir boys who are looking in opposite directions, thinking maybe Hinduism would be good. Or doesn't mean I need to love what I have right now.
Yeah,
I'm still a Catholic, but
right.
Yeah, I think that's a weak take.
Okay,
right. It is what we have now.
You'd be buying low,
and you can't force him out. He'd be selling low. You mean?
Yes.
Yeah, and
well, which means the same as buying low. If you were coming in.
Well, no, it just means me selling low means I'm losing money, whereas buying low means, man, the team is going to be good in a couple years.
If you could get downtown, if you could fix that up, and I mean, this is a discussion we've had several times, but
yeah,
if you could get downtown, if you could undo some of the damage to the, you know, PR of the team.
I think the guy running Sens Chirp, right? I think you are drunk. I think if you put this team up, there will be a buyer better than Melnick.
Some of the great lyrics in this one. My favorite, I know, as we get ready to get out of here, essentially, loving Bobby Ryan makes us cap compliant.
Yeah, makes us cap compliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yours was... Mo Escrow.
Escrow. Mo Escrow.
So it's to the tune of Jason Derulo's Riding Solo. Like I said, it's James Mellish. If you want to follow him on Twitter, we will share the link so that you can do so, and we'll share the YouTube link to this as well. But it's James Mellish at Silver Seeker MTG. No idea what that means, but at Silver Seeker MTG, we'll post the links. That's Tall Can Audio for this Sunday. We'll catch you all on the next one.
See ya.
Trading all our stars above the bottom line. I'm loving Bobby Ryan. He keeps us cat compliant. I'm so broke. Secretly so broke. Secretly so broke. Secretly so broke. So broke. Whoa. Google the cat floor tonight. Is it just me or 60 mil too high? Whoa. Time to do the things I like. Underpay my staff to the nearly strike. Oh, trade some draft picks away so that bonus gets paid. Oh, and since the Breton deal fell through, every damn day I'm getting sued. Yeah, gotta scrape some funds together. Credit lines keep getting severed. Yay, loving this Barbados weather. The tax rates are even better. I'm so sorry I didn't sign those players. The deals were wrong. They asked for money, I offered trident layers, enough to break your jaw. Bouncing on
all the checks from my casino debts. I'm jumping on my jet ship that got repossessed. I'm so broke, secretly so broke, secretly so broke, secretly so broke, so broke. Treated all our stars above the bottom line. I'm loving Bobby Ryan, he keeps us got compliant. I'm so broke, secretly so broke, secretly so broke, secretly so broke, so broke. Whoa. Never liked the golden rule, still kinda think accounting fraud is cool. Oh. Always feel misunderstood. I thought the borrow video was good. Oh, so why don't I sell the team? Cause my lifeblood is fan misery. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Gotta scrape some funds together. Credit lines keep getting severed. Yay. Loving this Barbados weather. The tax rates are even better. I'm so sorry I didn't sign those players. The deals were wrong. They asked for money. I offered Trident layers. Enough to break your jaw. Bouncing all the checks from my casino debts. I'm jumping on my jet ship that got repossessed. I'm so broke, secretly so broke, secretly so broke, secretly so broke, so broke. Treated all our stars above the bottom line. I'm loving Bobby Ryan, he keeps us got compliant. I'm so broke, secretly so broke, secretly so broke, secretly so broke, so broke, whoa. I want escrow, want more escrow, want more escrow, want more. Forget the 50 split, give me all the dough. I'm bouncing all the checks from my casino debts. I'm jumping on my jet ship that got repossessed. I'm so broke, secretly so broke, secretly so broke, secretly so broke, so broke. We traded all our stars about the bottom line. I'm loving Bobby Ryan, he keeps us got compliant. I'm so broke, secretly so broke, secretly so broke, secretly so broke, so broke, whoa.